Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's the return of Football Tuesday. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. And Vinny, with not a lot going on in the national sports world, a little bit different. But we did get the good news yesterday of the NFL draft being all virtual, which means we get something.
We get it. Something. The draft is still going. We get to see kids drafted no matter how they're going to be drafted. Video conference, text messages. I don't know how it's going to work.
Sports doing some sort of virtual presence.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a million different scenarios, but yes, we get the draft.
We do get, your team gets to pick. So you get right back into being exciting. They didn't postpone it. Of course, me and you were going to be there in Vegas.
That was the plan.
We got postponed, but we get to see our team's draft, though, and that's going to be incredible. So that's some good news. So it's back on, and I'm excited about it. These first six picks, Jordan, I think are going to be awesome. I think it's going to be huge.
Later on in the show, we're going to talk about the teams that hold the keys to the draft, because you mentioned the top six picks. One of those top six goes to Miami, but Miami holds the keys to the draft in general.
They're in the driver's seat.
They are in the driver's seat. So we'll take a look at the different directions the draft could go, especially in the opening round, the top six picks, and who actually holds the key to the NFL draft. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We'll also talk about the format of the draft. Look, it may not be the glitz and glamour of Las Vegas. I know the draft caps, I thought they looked hideous, the neon draft caps with the logos. So I'm glad we don't have to look at those. But while the draft was going to be historical in Vegas, it's still going to be historical. And call me crazy, but I'm looking forward to the presentation of this year's draft.
It is, because, you know, the lockdown, the climate that we're in right now, there's no sports, there's, you know, we've lost so much. And people have been cooped up in some places. We've been fortunate. We get to get out still and go to work. Mm-hmm. But to just have the sports feeling back. We're going to see highlights. We're going to see interviews. Somehow, some way, we're going to know that, you know, we're going to see these kids get drafted and fulfill our dreams. We'll still see kids crying, hugging their mother.
Yep.
We'll still see coaches smiling, saying, hey, I got my guy. So that whole intrigue of the draft, maybe not the glitz and glamour and the, you know, the showbiz part of it.
Which I'm fine with.
Exactly. Anyway. For guys like us that just love the draft, we watched it when there was just ESPN and 12 other people watching
it. Yeah, that was it.
We saw that back in the day. Mel Kiper's hair was jet black. And it still looked like that, the big pump. But hey, so that's going to be amazing, though, Jordan. We're still, in some way, we're going to get to see 22-year-old kids hug their mom and cry because they got drafted. And we're going to see our teams pick their guys. And that's exciting.
The stories that come out of the draft are absolutely fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. And I was watching the presentation, it would have been, 2004? Right, so I'm watching the presentation of the 2004 NFL draft, which was a big one for you, because that was the year that the Chargers landed Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
The behind the scenes of how that all went down, right? The Chargers, they were fully set on taking Eli Manning, and unless a trade came up that they were blown away by, they were going to make Eli Manning either sit out a year and re-enter, or he was going to play for the Chargers, right? So you get the stories back then in 2004, I guess where I'm going with this. The story wasn't pre-made, right? Social media has already manufactured some storylines.
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah.
know about these storylines going into the draft. Now, we knew that Eli didn't want to play for the Chargers.
But that came up just barely right before the draft.
Right before the draft.
This was just right before the draft.
Right. And in today's world, we would have known that the Chargers were saying, tough luck, don't care, we're still picking you number one. We'd have known all this.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm wondering if with a smaller environment, with this taking place all virtually, 32 teams at their own headquarters, wherever it may be, because the team facilities aren't open, so yep. they're going to have to find a place to hold it. I know the Saints are going to do it at a brewery. Who knows where these guys are going to hold. But wherever it's at, it's going to lack that sort of drama. It's going to have that sort of drama back. It's not going to lack it. It's going to have it back.
Back.
Where yep. we're not going to be able to get on Twitter and see these preconceived storylines 2 weeks before the draft, a week before the draft. I think it changes that element of it, which I'm all for.
It does. It does. And the reporting and the contact, there's still some of it, but the behind the scenes talks between the general managers that we don't know about and we learn about later, you know, this year's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
Weeks after the draft.
Weeks after the draft. Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
And I'm excited too. Like, there's still going to be somehow, some way. The NFL is so well run that we'll find a way to video conference, or we're going to see these kids.
Oh yeah,
we're going to see it.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's delayed 10 seconds. Maybe it's delayed a minute and a half. But we're going to see Jeffrey Okuda in the top 5 picks. He's going to be hugging his mom because yeah. someone just picked a cornerback really high in the draft.
Look, we Chase have FaceTime. Young. Everybody has FaceTime.
Yeah, Chase Young. You know, somebody's going to be interviewing Chase Young, and he's going to be wearing a Redskins hat. And maybe it's a minute and a half after he's been picked. Maybe it's 10 seconds. We don't know the delay will be, Jordan, but it's still going to be Chase Young telling people, hey, I can't wait to get to the Redskins, get to work. You know, so the top 6 picks are going to be very, very, very cool, I think, this year. It's going to be super exciting.
We'll get into that in just a bit here on the show. Let's talk about some other news coming out of the NFL. Todd Gurley is not officially signed with the Falcons yet. This is the interesting part about free agency, and this is where it's changed this year, right? Because you can't go to a team facility for a physical now. Can't do that, right? We saw a Michael Brockers deal fall through with the Baltimore Ravens, right? This is something that's it's a new element because of the times that we're in. Todd Gurley agrees to terms with the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. This was reported 2 weeks ago. Now it's official. The Falcons are coming out and saying that they are, you know, they have agreed to terms, but he hasn't taken his physical.
He hasn't taken his physical.
Does he pass his physical?
To be honest with you, Jordan, if I remember right, it's been reported it's a 1-year, $6 million deal.
That's right.
Okay. I think he passes. I think they're going to make him pass. I think that he's going to play for the Falcons, but I think it's a 1-year deal. And I think we've seen the best of Todd Gurley. I think that day has gone. I think he's a rotational player now, and I think he's an average player in the NFL.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate because
he was special.
He was dynamite.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see who's to say. I don't know that, you know, I'm sure they can physically and virtually look at him in a lot of ways. I don't know. Maybe he's lost some weight. Maybe that helps. Maybe he is worked on. Maybe there was a lingering issue that he's taking care of that'll help. The knee.
The bottom line is he's got arthritis in that knee. That was the report that came out, and it's the only logical report as to why this guy's touches dropped drastically. He went from an MVP candidate in week 14 in 2018
to
backing
cut.
Up CJ Anderson to getting cut a year later.
And to getting cut.
Right.
And
so there's arthritis in that knee. Yeah. They gave him a lot of money.
They ate a lot of money.
They did.
It was not a good deal for the Rams to cut him. That says a lot. For the Rams to actually cut him, that says a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that says.
So will he pass the physical? I think that's the big thing.
That is. That's interesting. Jordan, you're right. I don't know. Yeah, they did already cut Devontae Freeman. So
they did.
The Falcons don't have a running back right now.
No, and the Falcons are a team that really, I mean, there's been all this talk around Todd Gurley. If you get Todd Gurley at 70%, it's a pretty dynamic offense.
Absolutely.
You look at what they have on the outside.
Absolutely. He don't have to carry them.
No.
He does not have to carry that offense.
And he's, you know, with all due respect to Jared Goff, I think Jared Goff has a very long career ahead of him. Matt Ryan is special as well.
Matt Ryan
is fantastic. So it's going to work. It's going to work for Gurley if he can get even semi-healthy. But the physical standpoint, the physicals that these players have to take, it's interesting. I'm shocked that we've only had one deal fall through. I'm shocked that the Brockers deal is the only one that's been reported that has fallen through based off agreements that were made, knowing that you don't have access to these guys right now.
And one of them, another one fell through, but I think it was more that Darquez Dinard deal fell through in Jacksonville.
You're correct.
But I don't know if that was a physical thing.
I don't think it was.
That had nothing to do with the physical. I think they had some language in the contract and not being able to fulfill it. So, it is. These are trying times. You would think, though, with the virtual, with the technology we have, these guys could see a lot of that medical history, even video conferencing.
I think the problem, at least in the Brockers deal, the problem is he has a high ankle sprain question. So Brockers goes back to Los Angeles. Well, Los Angeles is, they know Michael Brockers' history inside and out, right? Baltimore doesn't know it inside and out.
That's right.
And if there's any sort of question and you're giving a guy 3 years, $30 million in this current situation with the cap, it's a lot of money, especially when you just made a deal for Calais Campbell. It's not as if you're struggling for frontline help, right?
Yeah, and it was almost like, you know, and they re-signed Derek Wolfe right after. It's almost like they're just stockpiling defensive linemen.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird
for Baltimore. So,
especially in an age today where pass rushing should be a big deal, and the guys they're getting after, you know, Brockers, he's not a great pass rusher.
No, never has been.
Derek Wolfe, not a great pass rusher. Mm-mm. It helps when, you know, have Bradley Chubb and Von Miller there, but one-on-ones, Derek Wolfe's not a dominating presence. So very, very strange, very strange. Yeah, I'm surprised. You're right, though. You would think, though, there would be more of these deals put on hold and then dropped, or just basically put on hold and not announced, because you don't know, you know, if you're going to pass that physical or not. Todd Gurley, we'll see.
It's going to be interesting. That is a very interesting storyline to follow over the next 3 to 4 days if Todd Gurley can pass his physical.
And you know, that affects your draft.
It does affect the draft.
That's a one-year, $6 million deal. They need a running back. They've lost Tevin
Gurley's
Coleman.
Gurley's not a contingency plan.
No.
You need a contingency plan because he's not a long-term deal.
He's not a long-term deal. So does it affect your draft plans? Round 2 and 3, are you going to take a running back? If Gurley doesn't pass, now you might have to move that up.
Yeah.
So it affects their draft plans, you would think. So that'll be interesting. And for the Rams, they cut everything off, so they knew going into the draft where they were going to have to be.
Right.
I think they did their dead weight and took their lumps this year to, you know, forward their cap moving forward. But to know, hey, in the draft, hey, this is where we're at. Our roster is here now. Let's draft accordingly. They didn't linger. They moved on.
Paid them a lot of money to move on.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
Paid a lot of money. Could have given up they could have paid him $10 million more. It was like 3 or 4 minutes. They hit the deadline before they had to pay him a $10 million roster bonus. So they ate a lot of money, but in the same token, they saved a lot of money. And it's a good storyline. If Gurley can go home and at least resurrect something of his career in Atlanta, I think it's a good story. But it is shocking to me that it took this long for that to be reported by the team that they had agreed to terms, only to say he still hasn't taken his physical yet.
And it is very weird.
It's April 7th. It's a weird situation.
Yeah, very weird.
Let's break for just a moment. More coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to continue to look at free agency, some of the biggest names still available. Where should they go? We'll take a look at that. We'll also touch on the NFL draft. We'll take a look at the first 6 picks. Who holds the key to the 2020 draft? It's all coming up here on this Football Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports.
A fake to McCaffrey. Newton's going left to the 10. Newton to the 5. Cam Newton has taken it home.
Loose, picked up by Tony at the 10, on drives to the 5, runs into the end zone, touchdown Seattle!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. You can go with this, you can go with that, you can go with this,
you can go with that, you can go with that. Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Let's take a look at some of the best free agents still available. Vinny, you go through this every year, and I think you just said something to me off the cuff that really resonates as far as the NFL is concerned. We were talking about 100 great players in the NFL. There's 5 that are legendary.
Yeah, they're just, yeah.
They're incredible. Mm-hmm. 5-6 years you get out of them, and they're no longer Aaron Donald. I mean, right now he's the best player in football, I believe.
We're watching a legendary player.
We're watching a legend. Now, 3 to 4 years from now, probably won't be the best player in the NFL, right? Because you have a shorter window in the NFL, especially with the route that it's going. But with that being said, there are players still available that have made their mark. Now, you can't confuse that with value, right? And I don't mean that in any disrespectful way, but there are players that at one point in time you would look at 4 years ago, Could you imagine Cam Newton being a free agent today? Could you imagine Clay Matthews, who leads the Packers in pretty much every major statistical category on the defensive end of the football, being a free agent 4 years ago? And so the point I'm trying to make is you can't take name recognition and confuse that with value in today's game. Now, with that being said, I think there's still a lot of well-recognizable talent out there that could be an asset. Right, so even you could tell me, I'm going to bring up some names, and you tell me if this guy even has a spot in the league this year, but it's a name you're going to recognize when we go through this list of the best free agents available. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of variables go into that. Your salary cap, your position, your age. As of right now, a huge one, like we just talked about, your injuries.
Yeah.
You may not be able to sign because nobody can give you a physical.
Well, and I think one of the other things that people overlook is if your team... Let's say your team is a 3-5 win team right now, and you need linebacker help. It doesn't do you any good to go out and sign a Clay Matthews. It doesn't do you any good. If you need an edge rush and you're a 3-5 win team, it does you no good to go out and grab Jadeveon Clowney. You're better suited grabbing some young talent and trying to develop that talent at a reasonable price.
Build your team.
It does you no good to go out and spend money on a position like that of need at this stage in the game.
And as of right now, we're in the second wave. The first wave of free agency's moved. Big money's gone. Nobody's left that's going to get big, big money. The price tag is dropping every single minute right now. So a lot of these guys are filling they're role players at this point, Jordan. They're going to fill a niche on a team. And a lot of times this is where playoff teams and better teams have snagged role players, niche players, backup players to help their team get over in case of injury, depth. Those kind of things. You're in your second wave right now. You're not going to find a lot of these guys starting and making the Pro Bowl. It's just not going to happen. So at this point, that's what you're looking for.
But it is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
For teams
important.
That are right there.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can become a 7-win team right now and become a 10-win team off the second wave of free agency.
Absolutely.
We've seen it before.
Yeah, because you're going to add to your draft. Yeah. You're going to add to your depth. Injuries happen. So yeah, the deeper teams, they always go further.
Well, let's start right now. Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think there's any doubt that he's probably the best free agent that's still available. I know you're not a big Clowney guy, right? You think that Clowney is a little bit overrated based on the dollar amount, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think he's absolutely overrated.
So he wanted $20 million a year. He's not going to get that.
I think he got laughed at.
Yeah, I do too.
I think his agent was literally laughed at.
So he scales it back to $17
million. They're still laughing at that.
He still has no place to go play. Now, I do think it's possible that a team like the Jets could sneak in and maybe sign him to a $15, $16 million deal.
They
just
have money.
They have money.
Yeah, they can structure it to look that way. It helps the agent and the ego. At this time, you know, if Clowney gets $15 million, it's probably an $8, $9 million deal guaranteed. You know what I mean? The rest of it's in incentives, or he gets upfront money and they can cut him after the year. Remember, this guy has some injury issues with the knee.
Has had injury issues since he came into the league.
This is a guy that... has never had double-digit sacks.
Nope.
Remember that when they're talking about this. This is a man that asked for $20 million. He's never had 10 sacks
in a
season.
And he played with J.J. Watt.
He played with J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless.
Yes.
And D.J. Reader. And Bernardrick McKinney. With Romeo Crennel and different guys. So, last year Seattle, he had 3.5 sacks, Jordan.
And ultimately, I think that's where he ends up.
It's going to have to be a desperate team.
I think he ends up
a team with money.
Seattle.
Because I don't think Clowney has enough sense to, at this point, to swallow his pride and say, you know, if, you know, an upright, like Bill Belichick will say, you know, I could use a guy like you, you're versatile, I can do a lot of things with you. I can give you $9 million and you can play for a winner. I don't believe he takes that. He says, I'm going to hold out for 15 just because I play, because I want the money. And I may be wrong. I don't know him personally, but that's the vibe I get. I think he's overvalued himself. But again, I think it's with you. If he's going to get big money, it'll be a team like the Jets. They have money.
They
need help.
Yeah.
They have to be relevant. They're not relevant.
Yeah.
So they could overpay.
They need to be relevant for a different reason.
They could overpay.
They're in the largest.
I tell you,
a
sleeper team that could use another rotational pass rusher. They have Cleveland Farrell was a nice pickup for them last year. But Las Vegas Raiders, they have some money. They're not going to give them that money.
No,
but they could offer money.
I think the Titans could use them as well.
The Titans. Bill Belichick's an interesting one. He waits for the price to drop, and he may call and say, "Look, you're not getting that, but I could use you."
Yeah, at this stage, I believe Seattle's got 14.5 left.
They're not going to give it all to him.
They're not going to give it all to him, but the fact that you made a move to acquire him last year, if he's got to take a discount, odds are he takes a discount at home on a one-year deal.
And remember, this guy had 3.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
3.5 sacks last year. So, I mean, how do you justify that?
It's tough. He's still out there for a reason. He wants way too much money. Let's stick on the defensive front. Everson Griffin is still available as well. Now, this was a cap move for Minnesota.
This was a cap move. He's a rotational player at this point in his career. I believe he's 32.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Zim loves him. Mike Zim is famous for his defense. This is the kind of move that screams to me, the veteran says, I'm going to wait till training camp for injuries or something. Everson Griffin's earned his money. I think the Vikings paid him handsomely, and he still has, I think he's still getting some of that. This is the move that screams to me, I'm going to wait to see after the draft, maybe even a training camp where I stay in shape and an injury happens, and then I come in. And I'm a rotational player, a pass rush specialist. I come in on third downs. Less reps, keep fresh at this point in my career. But, you know, he don't need the money at this point. He's made his money.
You mentioned injury. I'm going to throw another date out there that you got to pay attention to. It's June 1st. June 1st is an important date for a lot of roster bonuses, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't think roster moves are quite done yet because
no, but I think you can designate them. They've made it so you can designate them. So I don't think that we'll see as many June 1st as we used to. But, you know, you're right. The draft now, and then with OTAs, you know, a lot of these guys, we don't know what we have. So could we see Everson Griffin on a veteran, you know, an incentive-laden deal? I'll tell you, your Rams are interesting. They need pass rush help.
Yeah.
And Everson Griffin knows he's not going to get big money. Atlanta, that's one for Everson Griffin. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
I'll throw a team name out there to you that I think is just going to be really interesting from the standpoint of roster moves between now and then. Look, the Cleveland Browns are interesting to me for a couple of reasons. I think the Browns really dropped the ball last year when they made a trade for Olivier Vernon. We've talked about that deal many of times.
Mm-hmm.
They did not protect their asset. Are you aware of what this guy's contract is? Olivier Vernon is due to make a lot of money if he is on this roster come June 1st.
Yeah.
I think the Browns can save something like $15 or $16 million from this guy. Who's now the head coach in Cleveland?
Stefanski.
Where'd Everson Griffin come from?
Minnesota.
And I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah, as an
absolutely.
Example.
If you can save money, you know, you can save all that money and then get Griffin on a good deal, why wouldn't you? This is a veteran player. There's obviously they need veteran guidance on that defense. We saw that ripping helmets off and beating quarterbacks over the head with them. So, Jordan, they need a little veteran presence on that defense, correct?
I'm just throwing them out there as someone absolutely. That's going to have to make a roster move at some point in time.
And then the last person Clowney, apparently his agent, leaked that he talked to was Cleveland.
Yeah. You know, they're a team to watch.
They're a team to watch. Yeah, that's a great point.
Let's stick with defense. Logan Ryan is still available.
You know, here's another one that screams a veteran player. I would love to see him back with Bill Belichick. Versatile player back in New England. But here's a guy that I would say just like that, Jordan. At 29 years old, I believe. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back in Tennessee, but another one. Let's wait to see how the draft shakes out. And I think we're going to see that a lot right now. I don't think we see many veteran signings for the next month.
Yeah, you mentioned Bill Belichick in New England. You probably have to throw Detroit out there as
Detroit,
well.
Yeah, that would be another one.
Money.
Yep, they have a lot of money. But I think, you know, it's going to be on hold after the draft. But that's another one that shows up right before training camp because the OTAs are basically, you know, we're going to miss a lot of that due to the situation. So, yeah, Matt Patricia would be a good one, especially if he drafts Jeffrey Okuda. How would you like to have him and Logan Ryan?
Yeah, you'd be okay with that.
You'd be oh boy, would you? Yeah. Logan Ryan only has to cover the second best receiver.
Yeah.
Or move into the slot because he's versatile, cover the third best receiver.
That's
I
possible.
Like those odds.
They have what, 25, 30 million
yeah,
something
they got
like
money.
That left. So they
yeah,
have money
I like
to
those
sign
odds.
Him.
That's a great point. So I like that team.
That's probably a good place for him to go. But again, one of the top free agents still available. Let's move to the offensive side of the football as we're running out of time on this particular segment. Jason Peters is still available. 38 years old.
But 38 years old,
and
injury history. He's been banged up last 3 years.
Yeah.
So,
but he's a name. And this is what I was referring to at the beginning of this. Don't confuse name recognition with value.
Because the NFL doesn't. We've seen that. We just saw Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers be told, here's your walking papers.
Yeah.
This is the NFL. This is a business and a long-term plans. And so everybody has... Yeah, you're right. That's a great point, Jordan. Name recognition does not mean value. I think Peters waits. I don't think there's any suitors for Jason Peters right now until there's an injury. I think Jason Peters comes in when somebody gets injured. I think he's a replacement. So I think we see Jason Peters show up if he's in shape week three, week four. Because Jason Peters, he don't need a lot of time to get acclimated to pass blocking. You can sign Jason Peters on Tuesday and say, all right, the plays don't mean much to you. Block that guy on Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'll know how to pass block on Sunday. So I think he's a guy that we don't see anything or hear anything from until somebody gets injured.
We'll end with quarterbacks. Cam Newton, Jameis Winston. I'm surprised that Jameis is still available.
I don't think Cam Newton gets a job. I think health's too big of an issue, and it'll be training camp before he's eligible to be, you know, really looked at. So I think Cam Newton's, I think he sits out. Jameis Winston gets a backup job somewhere, and I don't know where it is. How about New York Jets?
Okay.
There's one.
Yeah.
Who's backing up Sam Darnold right now?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. LA the Chargers,
Chargers need a backup quarterback.
They need a backup quarterback.
And I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Chargers go quarterback in the first round of the draft.
And who's to say what, you know, come June, maybe Jameis Winston and Cam Newton are pretty hungry and nobody's called them and they realize, oh, I guess I'm not getting $20 million. Maybe I'm getting five. So by that time, that's probably what the offer is going to be like. Somebody's going to call and say, look, you're sitting home on your couch. You want to play some football? This is what I can give you. I can give you $5 million.
I would rather pay Jameis Winston than Cam Newton at this stage in his career.
Absolutely.
I don't think that Jameis Winston
younger, more athletic, healthier.
Yet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, this guy just threw for 5,000 yards, Vinny. And he doesn't have a job right now.
He doesn't have a job right now. But again, some of these fits, you know, Bruce Arians will not tolerate turnovers. The team I mentioned, even like the LA Chargers, Anthony Lynn, will not tolerate the turnovers. The reason Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback for the Chargers right now is he has one of the lowest interception rates in NFL history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, look at the situation that he came from, too. Right.
So
he's a typical fill gap quarterback for a reason. Fill gap quarterbacks have their value in the league.
Absolutely, they do.
You know,
so
Case Keenum is a perfect example of that. How many jobs has Case Keenum had? Because Case Keenum is a capable quarterback
and a stint. Mm-hmm. He's a short term bridge for you.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's the same concept.
Yeah.
Now I think Tyrod Taylor is better than both of those guys. But the fact of the matter is, he has a spot in this league, right? And that's what we're seeing right now. With that being said, I still believe that Jameis Winston can play the game of football. I am a little bit...
It is shocking that nobody's even... It seems like he's not even had any contact. It honestly feels like nobody even called.
Yeah, and I know he threw 30 interceptions last year, but this is a guy that threw for 5,000 yards. And 33 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So
he knows how to throw it.
He can throw the football. Now, what type of a leader is he? I you know, we don't need to get into all of that. But still, to me, Jameis Winston is one of the best available
free agents.
Wouldn't
you think, though, this is the perfect reclamation project?
No question.
This is the perfect reclamation project for somebody to say, listen, you're not playing football for us this year if our plans go like we want them to. You are going to have to relearn how to play quarterback in the NFL because... You did it your way, and it did not work. They did not want you back. So you're going to have to relearn how to do this in the NFL moving forward. So if everything goes to plan, Jameis Winston would be your backup quarterback and never see the field.
And you'd be okay with that.
And you'd be happy with
that. You'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
To me, yeah, Jameis Winston, to me, is one of the best free agents available out there. And look, if you're just looking for a team that you could throw him out, wouldn't Green Bay be a good spot for Jameis Winston right now? Would Green Bay not be a good spot
for
him?
You know, I wonder about that. You know, could him and Rodgers mesh?
Just for a year, because Rodgers towards the end of it anyway.
That would be, that's a neat situation. Cleveland.
It is. Cleveland has to
be. Tell me you're all in on Baker Mayfield.
They have to be. They have to be at this point.
Yeah, but do you believe that's going to work?
Yeah, 50-50 on it.
Okay.
I'm 50-50 on it.
So why can't he be the backup there and bide his time?
Because it could create a quarterback controversy. He goes to Green Bay. There's no controversy. It's Aaron Rodgers' team. But you don't have a contingency plan in place past Aaron Rodgers. And you were just talking about you don't want to see this guy play. Look, he's not going to play.
But when you're in practice and you see him throw, the starting quarterback's going to go, that dude can play.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to up my game.
No, that's true too. That's true too. But I've seen that backfire on teams before as well.
Yeah, you're right. And it's going to take the perfect reclamation project or the perfect coach to handle him. Because if BA couldn't get it out of him and didn't want him back.
Something's wrong.
That says a lot. That says a lot.
Those are the best free agents still available in the NFL. Let's take a break for a moment. We'll come back and we'll talk about the NFL draft. Top six picks. Who holds the keys? Who are some teams that can move up? Who are some teams that can move back? We'll talk about that when we return.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM. 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, Football Tuesday here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Let's talk NFL draft. It's not that far off. We're about 3 weeks away from the draft, and the top six picks are extremely interesting. And Vinny, your team, Los Angeles Chargers, they have a top six pick. The Miami Dolphins will pick three times in the first round.
Yeah, they incredible.
They got a top five pick. And then you have Jacksonville, you have the Giants, you have the Redskins, you have the Bengals, you have the Lions. And that's your top six picks right there. Okay, you would be a fool to think that it's going to go Cincy, Washington, Detroit, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Chargers. There will be a trade made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At some point, someone is going to make a trade. And this is why a team, Miami's got three first-round picks. Do they hold the key to the back half of the draft? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But as far as the front half of the draft is concerned, I don't think they do. And this is why. Because you look at Detroit, Detroit can get their guy if they move back.
Absolutely.
The Giants can get their guy if they move back.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're talking about the Chargers. We're talking about the Dolphins. We believe that the Bengals are going to go Joe Burrow. But it is the Bengals, so don't write that in with a marker, pencil that in, because it is the Bengals.
It's the Bengals.
With that being said, there are teams that could move up and jump a team like the Chargers or Dolphins. And when it comes down to it in the NFL draft, those are the teams you have to worry about, right? It's not a foregone conclusion that the Chargers are going to get their guy. It's not a foregone conclusion that if the Chargers want a quarterback, they can get him at number six. They may be a candidate to move up. The Dolphins may be a candidate to move up to make sure they get their guy if it's not Joe Burrow. A trade's going to be made at some point in time between those six teams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you nailed it perfectly. We can basically, with pencil, but we can write it pretty confidently, the first two picks.
Should be.
Should
okay,
be
Joe Burrow.
So we know
Joe Chase
Burrow
Young.
And then Chase Young. Okay. At that point, Matty P steps to the podium, and he a major factor in this, not only is what you mentioned with the Dolphins, a major factor in the draft that just came out this week was that Tua moved around and threw the football.
And is 100% healthy.
He's got a clean bill of health. Okay, this was a freak injury that hardly ever happens. So you can't, Tua's had a little bit of injury history and people are hounding him for that. But let's be honest, that is a very freak injury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He has a clean bill of health now, so that changes the draft, how you look at it. So there's some teams that are going to be aggressive. And we know 3 and 4, the Giants and Lions, like you said, if they're, let's just say it's Jeffrey Okuda for Matty P. And for the Giants, we're going to say it's either Simmons or left tackle, whichever one they have. For me, it's the kid out of Alabama, Jedrick Willis, okay? Those are your two guys. If they drop three spots, they're going to get one of their guys.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at 7, 8, whatever. The team for me that I find so interesting is Carolina, okay? They did sign Teddy Bridgewater, but Carolina has a very patient coach because he's got his, 7-year deal guaranteed?
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to be there a while.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new owner. They have cleaned house. This is a team that's trying to make noise. They want to be relevant. And how do you do that? You make a splash. So do they jump up and say, we're going to take Tua. And you don't have to play because Teddy Bridgewater is going to play for the next 2 years. So take your time. I have the assets and the time to be patient, Matt Rhule. He does. He don't have to rush. That's an interesting situation there. Other names not getting thrown out. Isaiah Simmons is an incredible athlete.
Yeah, he is.
Incredible.
And right now,
Derrick Brown might be the third best player in this draft.
You could probably grab Derrick Brown or an Isaiah Simmons on the back half of the top 10, which is saying something.
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
So somebody is going to wait for something to fall in their lap. Somebody's going to jump ahead, and I don't know who it's going to be. But I think you're right. I don't think the top six picks are going to be, like you said, in that order and go. The Dolphins, they have enough capital to move up one spot without blinking an eye.
Sure.
Why not?
You know who else has a lot of capital that could move up that should be in the market for a quarterback? Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Jacksonville has two first-round picks just based off of the Ramsey deal. They got an additional first-round pick next season well.
They could jump up five spots, three spots.
Gardner Minshew is a great story, right? It was cute. It was fun. Jaguar fans had a blast with it last season. He's not your long-term starting quarterback. He's just not. And you have two first-round draft picks. You traded arguably the best defensive back in the NFL, and you got a king's ransom for him.
Yeah.
You got two first-round picks and an additional back half pick as well. So with that being said, you have the capital to move up. That's a team that I would be concerned about if I'm the Dolphins or the Chargers, because if the Jaguars want to package
and they're picking
two first-round
at eight,
picks,
right?
They pick at eight. Nine. They're at nine. They're behind. Okay. They're behind the Cardinals.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want to package 9 and 20, and move up, with say, I don't know, the Lions, you throw a wrench into the entire equation of the NFL draft, and that's not out of the realm of possible.
Absolutely not.
It's also not out of the realm of possible to trade up with the Giants as well at number four. That's
who's
possible
to say
too.
They don't for a second rounder. The Chargers might drop from 6 to 9.
They could.
Say Herbert sit there at 6. And the Chargers say, well, I think Jordan Love's as good as Herbert. Why wouldn't you drop? Even if it only took you a second rounder this year, next year, and you keep your other first rounder, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think the other interesting tidbit to keep in mind here is that we have the top five picks. Once a trade is made, it's not out of the realm of possible to say four out of the first five picks will be quarterbacks in this draft.
It's not
very possible.
We could see it, especially in the back half. Yeah. Yeah, that is possible. Jordan Love right now is gathering steam, folks. It is legit. The NFL, after watching Patrick Mahomes, they see a guy that looks just like him. He's built like him. He has the arm like him. He throws the ball from angles that normal people don't throw it from. Did he make a lot of mistakes last year at Utah State? Sure he did. When he was a junior, the tape on him was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There are scouts and coaches salivating over this kid right now. So it is his rise is legit. He could be a top 10 pick in a heartbeat. Could he fall to 15, maybe even 20? Sure he could. That's because of the board.
But you know what helps his stock? And this is the same with any draft, right? So say you have a trade, someone moves up to 3, and say the Chargers move up to 3, just for the sake of the argument, because they could do that. The Chargers could do that. Okay, and they draft Tua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say Jacksonville was to make a trade and they draft Justin Herbert. Okay, or let's say they don't. Miami stays put at 5 and they grab Justin Herbert. Okay, so we'll say that because that's a little bit more realistic. So either the Dolphins or the Chargers move up and they draft Tua. Joe Burrow goes number 1. Whichever the Chargers or the Dolphins that don't move up, they draft Herbert or whoever is available. You have 3 quarterbacks gone. Love stock instantly skyrockets.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a big drop-off between Jordan Love and Eason or Fromm.
Yeah.
It changes the whole vision of the NFL draft. One trade is going to change things drastically. Go back to 2015. When the Rams made the trade with Tennessee, what happened to the Cleveland Browns' second pick overall in that draft? It went through the roof because we knew that the Rams had made a trade
for Goff
to grab either Goff or Wentz. Okay?
Yep.
At the time, Tennessee had their choices at maybe Laremy Tunsil. We thought maybe Jalen Ramsey. Right, but when the Rams moved up and grabbed that number 1 pick, the Browns saw a premium. Now you know that Goff is going to be off the board, or you know Wentz is going to be off the board. So then the Eagles move up, and the Browns got a king's ransom for it. Because it changed the whole complexity of the draft.
Absolutely.
And that could happen in this one very fast.
Yes, that's a great point that you make. And that top five, that trade is going to change everything.
Mm-hmm. And one will happen.
It will happen. And like you said, you're in the driver's seat. Matty P, Bob Quinn, Gettleman, and in New York, they're sitting there going, and Joe Judge, they're looking at going, we dropped to 8. We're still going to get our guy. We're going to get a guy.
You could move down to 6 with the Chargers and still get Okuda.
Absolutely.
You could. You mentioned Isaiah Simmons. And again, this is a guy that I absolutely love. And really, when you look at the depth at linebacker in this draft, it's not great. He stands out.
And he is the new NFL.
He is.
He can play different positions. And defense corners are drooling over him going, he could cover tight ends 101. He can cover backs out of the backfield. This guy can blitz. He played boundary corner for Clemson. And Clemson wasn't playing, you know, I mean, let's be honest. This wasn't a guy like Khalil Mack, you know, did all those things in Buffalo where he was the best guy in the field. Clemson was playing in the playoffs, the college football playoffs, all 3 years.
Yeah.
This is a guy that played some top-notch competition. He covered him at strong safety, at free safety, at linebacker. So his stock is through the roof right now. The 4.39 at the combine.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous.
That's incredible. So this is going to be awesome to see how this shakes out because, and I think, again, it has to be mentioned that the Dolphins have a lot of capital. They need a quarterback. And it needs to be mentioned that Tua, who at the beginning of the year was the top pick. Okay, Joe Burrow's rise was meteoric. We saw that with LSU, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow was legendary in his rise. But when they were both healthy, there were still, scouts split. Many people were saying, oh, Tua's the better product. Right now, he's more ready to play than Joe Burrow. So this guy getting a clean bill of health moves into the top three pretty easily.
Yeah, wouldn't he look good in a Jaguar uniform?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It just makes sense to me that Jacksonville packages up some draft capital that they have. Because again, how often do you make a move where you acquire two first-round picks? How often are you put in a position to where you can acquire two first-round picks for a single
player? Not very often.
Right? You have to make something happen.
You have to make something happen. So let me ask you this. If you're the Bengals and it's draft day and you're looking at it and you say, I like Tua, and I like Justin Herbert a lot. Maybe not as much as Joe Burrow, but I like him a lot. And the Dolphins call. They say, well, we really like Joe Burrow. And we got three first-rounders this year, and we got picks next year. How about we give you three picks to go from 5-1? You're going to get your quarterback in Cincinnati. Do you take that pick? Do you take that trade? We've talked about this before, Jordan. But let's be honest. If you're the Dolphins, do you say, I have to be relevant? I have to do something.
Well, the Dolphins have to, too. They're in a situation again.
They have to do something. Would it be a great splash if the Dolphins are? We're going to number one, and we're going to get Burrow.
It would be. It would be. You know, and this is where it also gets interesting because we've seen this in the past. Dave Gettleman is very unique when it comes to the NFL draft because Dave Gettleman has selected two players over the last 2 years that I believe he could have moved back and still got that same player.
Yeah.
He didn't. He took his guy.
Yeah.
Right. So who's to say that Gettleman's sitting there at number four in the middle of this quarterback hoopla and you have the Dolphins and you have the Chargers calling up. Maybe you have a million
who knows
different
who
scenarios.
Calls.
Yeah. A million different scenarios. I don't know that Dave Gettleman's a guy to make a trade to move back for draft capital because he hasn't proven that he's that guy.
No.
There's
going to be guys like that.
Look, Tommy Telesco. Saquon Barkley at number two, and not that that was a bad pick.
It was a great pick.
But
he could have had him at four.
He could have.
Daniel Jones, he might have had him at 12.
Could have. Didn't care.
Tommy Telesco, not a guy to move up.
Doesn't happen.
He doesn't like to move up.
And again, being that, I think you agree, it's not a foregone conclusion they go quarterback.
No, absolutely not.
So there's a lot of interesting moves.
Like Jacksonville calls.
Jacksonville's got
to make a trade. Maybe Jacksonville calls and says, hey, Tua's on the board because, hey, the Dolphins go, well, that hit bothers me. I'm going to take Herbert. Okay. So the Chargers there and Tua's on the board and Jacksonville calls and said, I want that guy. Well, if you're the Chargers, move back.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you're Caldwell, if you're the Jaguars, this is your opportunity.
Jump up and do it.
To jump up and put pressure on the Dolphins, put pressure on the Chargers. You can put pressure on anyone that's looking at a quarterback. You find a way to move up. And when I say you find a way to move up, you move up to number three. That's the spot that you want to be in right now if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have two first-round picks. You have 9 and 20. Don't forget, you have additional first-round picks next season.
Yeah, yep.
Tua is going to be there at number three. If you're the Jaguars, that's my team that I'm watching. Who's your team? I'm watching Jacksonville because I think they need to go all in after acquiring
two
first-round
picks. I'm watching Carolina because it's not a foregone conclusion to me because, again, Matt Rhule has so much time that he can be bold. He can be bold, and he can wait. Teddy Bridgewater can play while one of these quarterbacks sits. And Teddy Bridgewater's never had great success as a full-time starting quarterback. He's been a solid player on and off. He had 1 year as a starter in Minnesota. He was solid. He wasn't great. You know what I mean? He wasn't great. So maybe that's a team that sneaks in and goes, hey, I got all the time in the world. I can trade up.
Jordan Love would be perfect for that situation, wouldn't he?
Oh, man. Man,
he'd be perfect in that situation.
Yeah, and they have holes other places too. But you have McCaffrey. Don't you want to use it
mm-hmm. right now?
Right now,
we see the shelf life of running backs.
Right now,
yep.
So I think Gettleman, you know, with Barkley and Jones, I think he has to go all line. You just have to with Daniel Jones. So Gettleman can sit there and just say, "I'm going to take my tackle. I can move back to six. I'll still take the tackle. I don't think he moves far."
I don't either.
So if Gettleman moves, it's going to be one or two spots. I think that's as far as he'll go. But this is going to be a neat one. This is going to be neat. This is going to be unprecedented. Like you said, there's no green room. There's no live announcement like we're seeing it walking to the podium right there, zoomed in on Goodell. No fans booing Goodell, even though I don't know why they do that. This is going to be an interesting draft.
Yeah. Out of time on the show today. Definitely a fun one. We have a lot to talk about in the upcoming couple of weeks. Football Tuesday, Jordan Buscarini, Vinny Rondinelli. That's going to do it for us from the Auto Forum Studio. Be safe. We're out.